Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Sunday, May 14th. It is Mother's Day. So before we get going with the podcast, I would like to wish all of the mothers out there happy Mother's Day. I would like to wish my own mother a happy Mother's Day. Hi, Mom. I am so very blessed to have her in my life. She is amazing and helpful and supportive and wonderful, and I learned so much from her, and I like to give her a hard time about things. We, you know, every family has their little inner jokes, and mine is that she once, one time, made me a grilled cheese sandwich and forgot the cheese. Given she was making, you know, grilled cheese for the entire family, so there were five of us, so she was assembly line making grilled cheese sandwiches, and mine just happened to be the one that didn't get the slice of American cheese in it, so I always give her a hard time. There was a card one year that I got her for Mother's Day that said, a good mother lets her children lick the beaters. A great mother turns them off first. And so I signed the card. A good mother makes her daughter grilled cheese sandwiches. A great mother puts cheese in them. So yeah, I tease her, but she is amazing and she's wonderful. And I am so very blessed to have her in my life. I hope that you have a person in your life who is that wonderful to you. I know that, you know, some Mother's Day can be difficult for a lot of people. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not a mother, but thank you for wishing me happy Mother's Day. But Mother's Day is about not just biological mothers, but adoptive mothers, foster mothers, godmothers, mother, people who are mothering in general. I hope you have a person in your life who, even though she's not your biological mother, still has provided a mothering presence for you. But I also know that Mother's Day is difficult for a lot of other reasons, for women who have lost a child, or for someone who is struggling with infertility, for someone who did not have a good, caring mother in their life growing up. They missed that opportunity. Mother's Day can be extremely hard for people who have lost their own mothers. Today is a very hard day when your mother is no longer with you. So I wish everyone a happy Mother's Day today, but I also want to say that for all of you who find this day to be difficult, who are struggling in one way or another, I want you to know that you are not alone. You are seen. I pray for you as you struggle with this day, and I just want you to know that God loves you no matter what, and that might not feel like the thing that you want to hear today if you're missing out on something essential in your life, if you're missing your mom, or if you're missing your child, but God is there with you no matter what, and I just wanted someone to remind you of that today. So I hope you can find a bit of joy in your day, regardless of if it's tough. And for all of those of you who are celebrating today, I hope that you gave your mom an extra big hug, gave your children, if you're a mom, extra big hugs, and however you celebrate, I hope you had a wonderful day. So, on to the text for today. We are in the fifth Sunday of Easter already. Can you believe it? It's the fifth Sunday of Easter, which means that we are back to a lesson from Acts, the first of the four lectionary texts that we'll be reading for this week. If you remember, we are doing lessons from Acts in place of the Old Testament readings that we normally do as part of the assigned lectionary readings during the season of Easter, and that is because those lessons from Acts tell us the story of the early church and how it began and how it formed and what happened after Jesus and after the disciples were taking over the work that Jesus had charged them with. So today's reading is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31, and those verses are as follows. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, He who is Lord of heaven and earth does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the place where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, and even as some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So again, these are the verses that are assigned for today, Acts 17, verses 22 through 31. And I'm wondering what you heard in those verses, if there was anything that jumped out at you, if these verses are familiar to you. These verses are familiar to me, but not as familiar as some other texts. I mean, I know I've read them, and I remember talking about them in seminary. But what strikes me from this right away is that Paul doesn't immediately come in. He does and just start telling them that everything they believe is wrong. He does come in and notice that this is Paul. We have moved. Last week we were talking about Peter. We have now moved from Peter and the Pentecost sermon to Paul, and now he's speaking in Athens. So definitely a different section of Acts. We have moved to chapter 17 now, so we're much further into the book. But Paul doesn't come in and just immediately start telling them that everything that they know about religion is wrong. And Paul is not, you know, Paul isn't exactly tactful on other occasions, so it wouldn't be surprising if he were to say that. But what he says is that, he says, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. And he said that he went through the city, that he looked carefully at the objects of their worship. So what I take from this is that Paul, before he began speaking or preaching or teaching to this group of people, what he did was to go through their city and try to get to know them a little better. He didn't just come in and say, I have the correct way and this is what you should know. Instead, first, he went through their city, examined their objects of worship, examined how they worshiped, got to know them a little bit better. And I've never really thought about that before, but I appreciate it a lot in that Paul took this extra step, that he went through and tried to understand them better. And then he finds this monument to an unknown God and said, you actually have this monument to what you say is an unknown God, but to what I say is a known God, and I'm here to tell you about this God. So let me tell you why, you know, what this monument that you have is about. Let me tell you what this God is about. Let me tell you what I know about him, what I know about Jesus. So I really appreciate this passage in that it gives us a good way of not just talking to someone and saying, well, I think I'm right and you're wrong, but to find our common ground, to say, you know, I've visited your, you know, he's visiting a city, but if you're talking to someone who has different beliefs than you, the first thing you should do is try to find those common grounds. And then each of you can say, I have heard you. And now I would like to tell you how I see things from my perspective. I would like to tell you what my experience with my relationship with God has told me. I feel like that's what Paul is doing here, and I really appreciate that that's the way he's doing this. Maybe if if we weren't taking these verses out of context, we would get a different picture. But just from reading these verses in the context of just kind of taking them out of their context and reading them standing alone from the rest of them, this is the picture that I get. And normally, you should never do this. You should always look at the context of the verses surrounding the verses that you are studying in that day, and I encourage you to do that. But from just reading these verses, that is what I hear, and that makes me appreciative. I don't always appreciate Paul, although as I get older or as I study more, I'm starting to appreciate Paul more than I did when I was younger. I don't know if I'm mellowing or if I'm just seeing him in a new light. There's still a lot of things about Paul's writings that make my skin crawl, but I'm learning to appreciate other things that Paul writes about. So I do want to talk more about the context of these verses from Acts, but we are going to take our first break. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. Jordan and Keith is Entertainment Tonight meets Access Hollywood.
I'm Jordan. The guy laughing, that's Keith.
Yeah, I'm Keith.
An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the first of the four assigned lectionary text for this week, May 14th, 2017, the fifth Sunday of Easter. And this first text is from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. So we've jumped quite a ways in our reading in the book of Acts. We were more toward the beginning of Acts the last few weeks. We've moved from listening to Peter's sermon on Pentecost, which then caused 3,000 people to be baptized, and then was really the beginning of the church moving out from Jerusalem as people took what they had heard back to their own communities. And now we've moved on to Paul's work in the beginning of the new church. And Paul was called to be a preacher to the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jews. So today's text has us in Athens. Paul is in Greece, and he has been actually brought there to escape violent opposition. And if you want to know more about that, you can look at Acts 16, verses 16 through 17. Acts chapter 16 through 17 verse 15. So right before this, you can see what happened to Paul that created that violent opposition, why Paul has been brought to Athens to escape that violent opposition. So in Athens, he begins preaching in synagogues and marketplaces, as he does in other places. And then the Epicureans bring him to the Areopagus, which is kind of a mouthful to say, right? The Epicureans bring him to the Areopagus, which begs the question, what is an Epicurean? Well, an Epicurean is a disciple or a follower of the of the Greek philosopher Epicurus. So these were people who were following a different sort of philosophy. They were following the philosopher Epicurus, and then they heard about Paul and they wanted to know more. So they brought him to the Areopagus in order to learn more from him. Then after his speech, a few of the Athenians turn to Paul and to the gospel, and then he departs Athens for Corinth. So a few people are turned by his words, maybe not everyone that went to hear him, but they did want to hear more of what Paul had to say, and that gives you a little bit more context. So the students of the philosopher Epicurus had heard Paul speaking, either probably in the marketplace, and were either curious or, you know, maybe belligerent enough to want to hear more, be able to question him on his beliefs, maybe try to change his mind with their own beliefs. We don't know exactly what their reasonings were, but they invited him to speak, and speak Paul did, and he went with them, and some of them turned to Paul's teachings and the gospel. So one of the commentaries that I read for this week is by a woman named Margaret Amer, and she's the associate professor of New Testament at Austin Seminary in Austin, Texas. And she writes that the opening of today's passage establishes Peter's location as the Areopagus and praises the devotion of the Athenian men gathered. Then Luke lays out Paul's reason for speaking, to declare the truth of the unknown God. Verses 23 through 26 begin Paul's theological statement. God, Paul argues, does not dwell in buildings, nor is God served by human beings, as though the creator of all might need anything. Rather, God has made from one all peoples of the earth, for the purpose of dwelling on the earth in fixed boundaries, and seeking after God, who is never far away. Then Luke then connects Paul's theology within the poetry of the poet Aretas. This connects Paul's very Jewish theology with the theology of the Gentiles, demonstrating that Paul is not babbling, as the Epicureans charge. So here you see a little bit more. The Epicureans clearly have heard Paul speak. They do not seem to believe what he is saying. They are accusing him of babbling. They are kind of the ancient equivalent, maybe, of internet trolls. they listen just to tell him that he is babbling, and they don't believe what he's saying. But they at least, some of them did at least listen to him. Paul continues, she says, by refuting the practice of making statues of gods and worshiping them. For God does not take a golden, silver, or stone form. The implication of Paul's message, people should repent from idolatry and turn to a man who has been raised and who in God's name will judge. So again, he went around Athens, he examined the religious practices, and then he finds himself among this group of Epicureans who have heard him speak, some of whom have accused him of babbling, but who want to know more for whatever their reasons, whatever their motivations were. They still wanted to know more of what Paul had to say. So Paul starts to tell him about his experience. And his experience, of course, was with his encounter with the risen Christ. And if you don't know Paul's story, Paul was a very, very ardent persecutor of the early church. He was a Jew who traveled and persecuted early Christians. He believed very strongly that they were wrong and his beliefs were right, until one day on the road he encountered the risen Christ. He had this experience that turned him completely the opposite direction. Instead of persecuting Christians, he became one, and he began preaching to Gentiles and Jews, but he preached a lot to Gentiles, non-Jewish communities, and started telling them of the risen Christ, started bringing them to the faith that he had so ardently persecuted before in his life. And he had this amazing encounter with the risen Christ that turned his entire life around. So he takes that experience and he takes that out into the world with him and begins preaching and telling other people about it in order that they may understand Christ as he has come to understand Christ. So here we have Paul, who has been asked to speak, and he goes around looking at their idols, at their monuments, at all the things that they have dedicated to the various gods. And this is Greece, of course, so you have a whole pantheon of gods that have been worshipped. And he says, you know, God, in my experience, does not reside in these man-made artifacts, icons, edifices. God is not golden or silver or stone. God is not made out of these materials. Instead, God has created us. We do not create God. God has created us. And we are all one. And instead of following or worshiping a God that you perceive in this statue or in this icon or whatever it might be, I want to tell you about a real human, a real man who God sent to live among humans, who God sent to give us a new perspective on our relationship with God, a man who was crucified but then raised from the dead 3 days later, a man who Paul then encountered after his resurrection, after Jesus's resurrection, not Paul's resurrection. Paul encountered the resurrected Christ, had this amazing experience, had this complete turnaround of his life, and now he comes to talk to the Athenians as part of his ministry. So we see where Paul is coming from because of Paul's backstory, but we also see where he's coming from because of his surroundings. So he's not just babbling, as they say. He actually has gone around, looked at their religious beliefs. He quotes one of their own poets, so they know that he has actually done some time, done some homework, gotten to know them as a culture, as a people, gotten to know some of their artwork, some of their poetry, etc. So he's not just coming and spouting his own beliefs. He is coming to say, this is what I see of your world. This is what I appreciate of your world. And now let me tell you what I understand to be in terms of my own religious beliefs, in terms of my own experiences with God, with the risen Christ, etc. So as I mentioned before, I do actually appreciate Paul's approach to this, because he seems as though he's really making an effort to not just preach at, but talk with the people that he is telling his experiences to. And I think we can all take a lesson from that to really try to listen to other people, to hear their, to get to know them and their culture and their reasons for believing what they believe, and then saying, this is my experience, not saying you're wrong and I'm right, because that really never opens up conversation, does it? It pretty much shuts down conversation right from the start. But if you approach it from, this is what I see, and you can tell me if what I'm seeing is how you see things, and then this is how I feel, this is what I've experienced, can I please share that with you? And, you know, they might say, no, I don't want to hear your experience. I don't, you know, they may be like the ones who still thought he was babbling, the ones who didn't turn to his teachings or turn to Christianity, who didn't convert, or they might be, you know, like some of the ones who did convert. They might be willing to listen. They might get a new insight. You might get some new insights on how you see the world, how you see your religion, how you see those things. But being open to those things doesn't mean you have to compromise your own beliefs. It doesn't mean you have to compromise how you experience God in your life. It just means that you open yourself up to hearing someone else's perspective. And when you do that, you just never know what's going to happen. You never know how you're going to grow in your own relationship with God because of opening yourself up. And this actually took a different turn than I expected it to. I didn't quite expect to go in this direction with today's episode. But, you know, you got to just go where the text takes you and where your thoughts take you. So I'm going to finish up, but we are going to take our second break. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are going to wrap up this episode with our final segment, and I do want to look a little bit more at the commentary that I was referencing earlier from Margaret Amer, because she has some great, what she calls exegetical notes. That's a fancy word. I like fancy words. Whenever I say fancy words, I'm not belittling that. I like words that are big. I like vocabulary words. That's neither here nor there. So she has notes on the verses that we just read. And so she takes us through these verses and gives us some more context, some more insight into them. So I do want to share some of that with you. So the first note she has is on the phrase, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus. She says, standing is a common posture for declamation in Acts. The Areopagus is a rock outcropping downhill from the Acropolis, the temple to Athena, that served primarily as a court of law for trying homicides. Paul's speech is political as well as religious, for the worship of the gods was a political act. He rises to declare God's judgment in an Athenian court. Isn't that fascinating? So that gives us a very definite space as to idea of the space that Paul is speaking in. He's standing up because that is common in this time frame in the book of Acts. People stand up to say what they believe in, and then he's in the Areopagus, which is downhill from the Acropolis, which is the temple to Athena, which of course is where Athens gets its name. So that I find fascinating. She then moves on to the phrase Athenian men. Speeches in ancient historiography were usually the invention of the author, in this case, the author of Luke and Acts. As with many of the speeches in Acts, Luke has Paul addressing the men rather than the entire crowd. Similar patterns can be seen elsewhere in the book of Acts. this gendered language is masked by some contemporary translations. So she's just basically saying that Paul's reference to Athenian men doesn't necessarily mean it was only men gathered there, that this was a typical way of addressing a mixed group of men and women, of just saying men. We don't know that there were women there. We don't know that there were just men there. It doesn't, because the text doesn't say, but it's likely that it was a mixed group of men and women. And some translations will actually say that it will say, you know, it will be a little more gender neutral than what we have read in today's text. She moves on to say, "I see you as devout in all things." In ancient rhetoric, this would be the introductory section. The purpose here is to make the audience well disposed to hear you. Paul does so by acknowledging the devoutness of his audience, and I've talked about this already. "I found an altar on which had been written, 'To an unknown God.' Such altars existed in various places throughout the Roman world. Paul uses this as the launching point for his primary proposition that the God the Athenians call unknown was the creator of heaven and earth." So again, Paul uses what he has seen, uses what he knows of Athenian culture, and says, you know, "I found this monument or this structure to an unknown God, and I would like to tell you who that unknown God is. That God is not unknown. I can tell you about that God. Does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands." Here, she says, Luke is arguing first against pagan forms of worship. However, underlying his argument is a long-running theological discussion about the appropriateness of temple worship in Judaism, a discussion that also emerges in Stephen's diatribe in Acts 7, verse 48. For Luke's audience, who heard Acts read after the fall of the temple, the theological importance of the temple would have been a major concern. So there's two things going on here. Paul is talking first about pagan forms of worship, and that, you know, we don't need to worship things that are created, that we don't need to worship icons or statues, etc., but also worship in the temple, and that would have been a concern for Jews in this time, because this is written after the destruction of the temple, which is a huge, huge impact on Judaism. And I mean, if you know your central place of worship has been destroyed, you can imagine the impact that would have on an entire people. She says then again, "from one ancestor." For many, the more familiar translation is "from one blood." The word "blood" seems to be a later addition found in a different manuscript, different type of manuscript on which the King James Version relies. So if you grew up hearing "from one blood" instead of "from one ancestor," the argument harkens back to Genesis 9, in which God is said to have made the nations of the world through Noah's three sons, and indeed back to the creation story of Genesis 2. What it gives us is this image of unity that we've been talking about, especially in 1 Peter the last couple of weeks, this image of one family, of everyone being created by God, everyone being united in that creation by God. So it's just, we are created equal by God, and that is a point that Paul is trying to make. So that way they would search for God. Through Paul's speech, Luke argues that in creating humanity, God's intent was that humanity would search for God. This call to seek for God draws on themes found in Deuteronomy, among other places. "In him we move and live and have our being." Luke quotes the poem by the Greek poet Aratus. The poem is an ode to Zeus rather than to the God of Israel. Nevertheless, Luke excerpts it here, perhaps to give the lie to the charge that Paul was a babbler preaching foreign concepts. And then, "we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone." This is the crux of Luke's argument. If we are God's offspring, living, moving, and being in God, how can we imagine that God is like precious metal or stone? So there you have the crux of Luke's argument, that if we are made in God's image, if we are all created by the same God, then how can God be made out of these inanimate objects of metal or stone? And so you really start to see the nature of Paul's preaching in the way he crafts what he preaches in these few verses. He, of course, we get more of his words, more of his theology in his letters, but we see we see him in action, so to speak, here as he's speaking to the Athenians, as he is being confronted by, you know, people saying that he's just babbling, that he doesn't know what he's talking about. But he really does know what he's talking about when he quotes their own poetry at them, when he can point out what he has seen in Athens as in terms of their religiosity, in terms of their symbols of religion, etc. One final thing that I do want to say before I wrap things up is that after that part of Paul saying that, you know, we search for God, perhaps grope for God and find him, what I want to take from that sentence is the last part of it. Though indeed God is not far from each one of us. And maybe that's just sort of a throwaway line, but really that's the part that jumped out at me. That's the part that really spoke to me from these verses, in addition to everything else, but the part that says, though indeed God is not far from each one of us, meaning that even when we feel like we're searching for God, even when we feel like we're groping for God, as we do, you know, in dark times of our lives, in despair, in the times that we've talked about so many times that occur in the Psalms, when it feels as though the psalmist is seeking God, trying to find God, etc., God is not far from us. And I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that, you know, even if today is hard for you as on Mother's Day, God is still there. God is not far from you. No matter what is going on in your life, God is there. God is closer than you think. God is not far, and God is always there to raise you up, to give you comfort, to give you peace, to hear your words, whether they are happy or sad, joyful or anguished. So that is all the time that we have for today. I hope you'll join me tomorrow as we look at the second assigned text for this week, which is from Psalm 66. So thank you so much for joining me today as we talked about the first reading for this week, from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Again, I hope you'll join me tomorrow. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download our podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and any of those fancy handy apps that you have for your mobile devices. You can follow us on social media, and as I always say, I would love to hear from you. Please don't hesitate to contact me on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, GSMC Bible Study. It's pretty easy to remember. So again, I thank you for joining me today. Happy Mother's Day. I hope you'll join me again tomorrow. In the meantime, please remember that God is not far off, and that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.